Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Patrick, we have a top 10 list.
Fantastic, Jim.
Top 10 reasons to listen to Rockin' the Suburbs. Okay. Anton, drum roll, please. Number 10.
Because those suburbs aren't going to rock themselves.
Number 9.
Because occasionally they get a fact right.
Number 8.
It's fun to wager on who will use the verbal crutch right more times during an episode.
Right. Number 7.
It honors all the essential instruments in rock and roll, like the French horn.
Number 6.
It's endorsed by Boutros Boutros Ghali.
Did you know that?
Yes, no, I didn't. Yes.
Number 5.
It's more fun than humans should be allowed to have.
Number 4.
The corny openings. Wait, what?
Number 3.
What else are you going to do when you mow the lawn?
Number 2.
Without rock in the suburbs, Jim and Patrick may stay sober.
That's not good. And the number 1 reason to listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
It has the most awesome guitar chords in theme song history.
All right, Patrick, we missed you last couple of days.
Yeah,
where were you?
Thanks. Well, you know what happened, Jim? Those 3 weeks I spent on vacation in Santa Fe, New Mexico, took a toll on me. I did a lot of hiking out there in the desert.
Yeah.
And I developed a little foot problem. So I had to go in and get that taken care of for a couple of days. They admitted me and, removed some stuff off the bottom of my feet. You don't want to hear a lot more about it.
I thought it was maybe something soccer related.
No, not in this case.
Okay. So, well, we're glad to have you back today.
Yes, thank you.
We're here at your house today.
Yeah, we are. Wednesday. I'm just
morning.
Recuperating.
On my way to work, I stopped by to get my morning beer.
That's right. You're drinking brew for breakfast.
That's right. Got my Guinness. And anybody who is new to this show, who might wonder what they've stumbled onto, you're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we talk about music.
Yeah.
From a suburban basement.
That's right.
That's
what
we do.
This
case being your basement. And we have a new intern.
Yes,
for
we
show,
do.
Right?
Sam Lisker.
Yes.
An amazing rising junior at Ithaca College.
He is doing a bang up job
really
for us here as the Rock in the Suburbs intern because he's been doing some research for us.
Yes.
Right? Somebody has to.
Somebody has to.
And he came up with this idea, right? What's the idea?
Great idea. So he's putting together some, you know, things that occur on some of the days we record, and we found out that today, August 30, in 1993, this was the very first episode of David Letterman's Late Show on CBS Network.
The CBS version.
The CBS
version. The second
version.
Show he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which he took all the way out until the end of his career. And I thought it was kind of interesting because the news has just come down over the past week or so that David Letterman's going to do a thing for Netflix.
Yeah.
6 or some episodes, right, of long-form sort of interview. What is your take on
this? Yeah, like
hour-long
shows.
Something like that, yeah.
Some interviews and some apparently like what they call like field segments.
Yeah.
So that'll be funny.
Right.
I hope he's
go to
like
the Hello Deli.
Yeah, or he runs the drive-thru at a fast food place or something like
Throws
that. Those
stuff
are always
off
good.
Of tall buildings. Yeah.
So we'll see. I think that'll be a lot of fun. I'm glad to see that he's going to be doing something else on television because he's a really
too.
Funny guy.
Yeah. And he's got that big beard now.
But going back to his late night shows, tell me if this sounds familiar at all. He had a show on one network.
He did.
And then he switched to a different network and he like had to change the name and he couldn't do things exactly the same as the old show.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was some, because the former company he worked for like owned certain rights to things, right? You ever heard of this happening?
No, it's really weird, man. I can't relate to what he had to do.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it?
What he had to go through. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, what we're talking about here was the debut of the CBS show called Late Show.
Late Show. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Previously it was Late Night on the NBC network.
What do you remember of David Letterman's late night shows?
Oh man, a lot. You know, I remember him introducing me to bands. I mean, I remember loving the show, and it just shows you how your body ages. I would never go to bed. I even think about going to bed until the Letterman show was
on. Of course.
I mean, never.
Right.
I wouldn't even be tired.
Right.
You know? I'd still be drinking soda at like 12:30 at night. You know? That was just... So you watched it every single night.
That's right.
It was kind of a recap of you know, stuff. And obviously the bits were great, but man, so many bands... you know, made their television debut on that show. And he had the iconic Paul Schaefer leading his house band, and they often played with the house band, so there was always crazy stuff that happened. And he always got, like, surprising guests. And I think Letterman truly cared about music.
And in the old days, you know, before the internet, right, it wasn't like the next day you could just, somebody could share with you the clip, right, and be like, oh, you have to see this.
Yeah.
Like, you had to watch it that night or be smart enough to, like, record it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was it. And the bands were always on at the end. That was always the last thing, right?
And so Dave would walk over and shake their hands.
That's right.
You know, as the sort of the credits were rolling. Yeah.
So you noted that on the first Late Show, which was August 30th, 1993.
Yeah.
So whatever that math is, 24 years ago today. Mm-hmm. His first musical guest on that new show was Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. Greg Wilson will be happy about that.
And I'm wondering, I know he had Bill Murray on as the first guest because it was also his first guest on his first show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I suppose Billy Joel, I watched the clip today. He was he was promoting an album. He still made albums back then. He was promoting an album. So it wasn't even like he did some special thing. It just, I guess maybe New York, and he was kind of a big name.
Yeah.
It might make sense.
Yeah, but very New York. You know, I think we experienced that passion with Greg Wilson.
Right.
But you know, my mind, Jim, casts back to things like seeing R.E.M.,
yes,
on David Letterman, right, performing Radio Free Europe.
Yes.
Their first show on TV. And even until I was just doing some research today, Letterman kept it up with giving bands debuts. The Orwells made their television debut in 2014 Letterman's show. That long, you know, they were just really the past couple of years of starting to get noticed. But that even back then, he put that band on. I remember a very emotional where he did a whole show with Warren Zevon.
Yes.
When Warren Zevon was ill, and you knew that was probably going to be his last time, and he talked to him and he let him play several songs, and he played Rollin' the Headless Thompson Gunner, you know, which apparently was Letterman's favorite.
Rollin' the Thompson Gunner. Fought beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland was the best. So the CIA decided they wanted Roland dead. That son of a bitch, Van Owen, blew off Roland's head. Roland, the headless Thompson. They can still see his headless body stalking through the night in the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun.
and the end with you know, the Foo Fighters,
yep,
like closing the show out. And the last week, you know, he had a lot of really cool musical guests. I remember that when he did the Beatles week, I don't know if you remember this, we had a whole bunch of bands covering like Beatles songs the whole week. And then the Friday or the last show, McCartney played on top of the, you know, yes, the marquee, right? And he did Get Back in a recreation of like the Beatles'
the rooftop
performance,
show.
The rooftop concert. Yeah, yes, their last performance. So that was really cool.
I do remember that. That was great.
Yeah. So lots of neat touches like that and just kind of weird, quirky things that would happen. And I remember the house band is like a band, you know, with like Will Lee and you know, the drummers they had. And it was, you know, yes, it was a cool kind of a band they had.
Anton Figg
was a drummer.
And Sid the guitarist.
Yeah,
so
was a guitarist. Hiram somebody was the early guitarist, the black guy with the glasses that looked really square but played like real Hiram Bullock or something like that.
He went on to be like a really accomplished like jazz guitarist,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. He was super, super talented. Yeah. And David Sanborn would always sit in with the band, you know, at times. I remember seeing Nico Case on, you know, Letterman, and she made her TV debut. Sonic Youth, I believe the same thing, their national TV debut. So
Sid McGuinness was the guitarist, right, who came on, yeah, later. Yeah.
And they used to play Stump the Band. You know, they could kind of call anything out.
Well, also for us, if you go way back to when he started in the 80s,
mm-hmm,
it was a real different, musically, it was a different show from Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
Totally.
So Johnny Carson, for the longest time, he didn't want to have rock music on the show at all.
No.
Doc Severinsen's band was a jazz band,
that's
essentially,
what he liked.
Kind,
yeah,
of a big band kind of thing.
That was his music.
And yeah, he liked, you know, that sort of stuff, standards, jazz, all that kind of thing. And, it gave Letterman real, you know, opportunity to create a different, you know, vibe with this thing. And so, you know, even just like the little bumper music that Paul Schaefer's band would play in and out was always a rock song.
Exactly.
And that was cool. I was noticing, watching this Billy Joel clip today, that like as soon as he stops playing, Paul Schaefer's band launches into Burning Down the House.
You know what I mean? Is that right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You know, and it's like, how cool is yeah, that? That's just, right, they had like these songs that they would always sort of play and they were sort of instantly recognizable rock songs, but they became sort of standards in a way, mm-hmm, for like that next generation.
And I think if you've ever seen the Jimmy Fallon show, Tonight Show now or whatever.
Right.
What the Roots do is, you know, pretty much a carbon copy of the setup from Letterman. And they do the same kind of thing. And, you know, they're clever and they play out with stuff and they.
Yes, yes. So you were talking about the Warren Zevon. I think that's probably the biggest,
yeah,
you know, sort of music memory of David Letterman's show. You know, I mentioned how he dedicated one show just to Warren, but he had him on several times,
yeah,
and they developed like a really, you know.
They were close friends.
Yeah, they, mm-hmm, they developed a real friendship to the point where, you know, even. As Warren was, you know, really ill, that was like one of the last stops he made was to come on and
yeah,
play on Letterman's show. And it was just really, you know, it was really touching to watch, you know, it was,
yeah,
really emotional
down at the
just
piano
to watch
and play.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really incredible.
Yeah. I remember the REM one.
Yep.
I remember, I mean, there were a lot of bands, you know, pretty much everybody at some,
yeah,
point or another, you know, big or small played on,
I know,
that show, right?
I, you know, when Dylan came on and did a bunch of stuff, he was like second to last, I think, when the show ended. It was like Dylan was the penultimate performer or something.
Oh, and I'll tell you one really cool thing from the late show. So this was later on in the run. This must have happened, you know, purely because of the internet. Somebody had this what I thought was a brilliant idea. Sometimes they would have the bands stick around and play like a set,
yeah,
for the audience after,
mm-hmm,
the show was done taping,
mm-hmm,
and nobody else was on stage, just the band, and you could then watch those like on like online, you know, it was live at Letterman,
yeah,
or live
very cool
on Letterman
idea,
or something like that, whatever.
Right,
and that was where I really got into this band called Foster the People.
Yeah, I remember them.
Was because I watched one of those sets and I was like so impressed with them,
yeah,
not just the songs but like, you know, how they played and how they played to the audience, that it was really kind of won me over.
Yeah.
You know, and that was,
mm-hmm,
and that's great because you know how it is when you see a band in sort of a live setting, yeah, that makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can find that stuff out there. I think it's called Live on Letterman or something like,
yeah,
that. And that, what a cool idea that is.
You know, we're going to take a little break here, but speaking of the clips, so now you can go back and find pretty much any clip, except,
right,
for the ones that have kind of been removed by Columbia Records and some of the big corporations. You have to dig a little harder to find those. For the most part, you can say, here's the, 20 most popular late, you know, David Letterman musical performances, right? There's tons of listicles out there with YouTube videos embedded in them. But the one that showed up on every single list that I saw today or yesterday when I was doing research, and I didn't know this. I knew the band, but I didn't know this happened. There's a band called Future Islands. Are you familiar with this band?
We talked about them a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or whatever it was. I don't know.
So the same band, and they did a performance of a song called Seasons, and apparently Letterman so fell in love with the lead singers, the way he was dancing and like singing the song, that he, you know, he broke the clip out for like weeks afterwards and said, show me that, you know.
Wow.
And it's a great little tune. And so if you guys haven't seen it, go and watch the performance of Future Islands playing on Letterman 2014, I believe. It's really, really entertaining. It's kind of a cross between Morrissey and Iggy Pop and, you know, a few other people doing a funky dance. It's really, really entertaining. And it became a pretty viral thing for a while there.
All right. So you mentioned we should take a break now,
why don't we hear a little of that Future Islands?
All right, let's do that.
Our next guests are making their network television debut with us this evening, and their new album entitled Singles, there it is right there, is in stores later this month. Ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't be happier to have them here. Welcome, Future Islands.
Patrick, I noticed that you tend to use your mobile device, your phone, more than
phone
a computer
all the
now,
time
right?
lately. Yeah, I'm trying to get in the swing of it with the younger people. My offspring don't use their laptop, even though they have them, unless they're like...
Really?
Yeah, they have to do something serious, you know, like submit a paper or watch a movie.
In my house, my son has a laptop, my daughter has a laptop... And, of course, they all have, you know, smartphones.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have this laptop. Mm-hmm. And my wife, Katie, just has, like, a big tablet, like a Amazon Fire kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also have, like, a desktop computer, like, on a desk.
As do we.
In the family room. But that hardly ever gets used. Nobody goes over
and sits
down.
That's if you need to print something. That's
exactly it. And the reason I bring this up, you may wonder,
is
because... One thing you can do on any of these devices, including your mobile phone,
all those,
is you can go to suburbspod.com, right?
And it's an amazing place. It's a universe unto itself, Jim. And I want to talk a little bit about, since we mentioned our intern Sam earlier.
Yes.
Sam's working on a project for us that should be pretty much complete as the time we speak. You know, he's put down every song ever played on Suburbs Pod, Rockin' the Suburbs. And the artist and the album it came from, and the year it was released, and even some things that tie into our little universe, like if it was Perfect Pop, or if it was Less Talk, More Rock, or if it was, you know, a theme week. So you can go there and see every song we played.
See the master list,
yes.
And it will be sortable.
Sortable.
So sortable, yeah. Searchable, all these things, right?
Thank
we
you.
We think?
Yeah, JavaScript right. is involved, and yes. it's very sortable, and it goes back to like the 14th century. It's incredible, like way back to the beginning.
Oh, this is very exciting. I'm really excited about this. Yeah. So it gives the website some utility, yeah. I think, and it can be fun, you know? So you can go in and see, like, have they ever played Ever Fallen in Love by... Buzzcocks.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, we just did because Craig Rosen recommended
That's
it,
right?
And so we did that. But
and you may be able to go
and
back
you can
and
find that episode
and see what the most played artist is.
Right. I wonder who that is.
Yeah. And I think of a lot of the, you know,
is it the Yardbirds?
It might be. Sprinkle some fairy dust on that list. So there you go, suburbspod.com.
Now, one question about Sam: did he build into the list or the page or the website anywhere? Like a little donate button so he can get paid somehow.
He should. If he didn't already.
All right. So, Sam, that's your next task you have to take on. All right. So, please visit suburbspod.com. Okay, we're back, and we are talking about David Letterman and his new show. Not really his new show. We're going to talk about his old show.
Yeah.
We don't know what the new show is going to be exactly.
We don't on Netflix. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
So you have a whole notebook full of Letterman. Is this the log you kept as you would watch every show?
That's right. I wish I still had that. Somewhere I do. No, but I mentioned some of my favorites and some of the things I really enjoyed. But I want to talk about one here that probably surprised me and entertained me the most as I was doing my research. And a lot of this I remembered. I remembered some of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would remember this really strange character that used to come on Letterman and talk and sing all these really bizarre songs. And he had a voice that kind of sounded like he was gargling razor blades or something. And he was always wearing like a tie or some sort of weird hat. And he had really weird tousled hair. And he had like a jazz patch or a little goatee every time. And this man was Tom Waits.
Yes.
And Tom Waits apparently appeared on Letterman 11 times.
Do you realize how cool that is?
That's unbelievably cool.
He would have him on not just one time, but 11 times.
It's amazing, right? And one of the songs he played, and I'd like to play a little bit of this for our listeners right now. One episode he came on. I think this was on the NBC show. He came on, played this song. Then he went down and had a long chat with Dave. And they talked about all this, you know, typically bizarre stuff. And then he went back to the piano and played another song. You know, this is kind of the way Dave would give him a lot of time. Waits. He would be like the first guest, which was amazing. And he became kind of this weird character. But he played a song called Frank's Wild Years. Which I don't know if you remember, it might be on the Swordfish Trombones or Rain Dogs album, one of those two, right in there in the classic Tom Waits period, but just with like stand-up bass and Paul Schaefer on piano, and he sort of recited this incredible story. So let's play a little bit of that.
Frank settled down out in the valley, and he hung his wild years on a nail that he drove through his wife's forehead. He sold used office furniture out there on San Fernando Road and assumed a $30,000 loan at 15.25%, put a down payment on a little two-bedroom place. His wife was a spent piece of used jet trash, made good Bloody Marys, kept her mouth shut most of the time, had a little chihuahua named Carlos that had some kind of skin disease and was totally blind. They had a thoroughly modern kitchen, self-cleaning oven, the whole bit. Frank drove a little sedan. They were so happy. One night, Frank was on his way home from work. He stopped at the liquor store, picked up a couple of Mickey's Big Mouths, drank them in the car on the way to the Shell station. He got a gallon of gas and a can. Drove home, doused everything in the house, torched it. Parked across the street laughing, watching it burn, all Halloween orange and chimney red. And Frank put on a Top 40 station. Got on the Hollywood freeway, headed north. Never could stand that dog.
I have a couple of things I want to bring up about Letterman's first show, the one he did that was on, came out at like 12:30 at night, right at NBC.
Well, he had a morning show.
Well, that was actually his first show. I don't mean that one.
Right.
The first late night show.
First late night show, yeah.
So two things I'm just sort of remembering now. that were pretty cool was one was in 1987 he got Sonny and Cher back together.
Really? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
No,
Yeah.
That was the first time. I remember them when they were on the show.
They hadn't performed together in who knows how long.
Oh, that's incredible.
Many, many years.
That is incredible.
Because at that point in the 80s, like Cher had a good movie career going. Yeah. Like she was a real actress. You know?
Moonstruck and all that stuff. Yeah.
And Mask, that was another show she did, right? Or another movie she did.
Yeah, like an Academy Award nomination for that.
She was like a serious actress at that point. Yeah. And then Sonny, I don't know when... well, here it says, actually, I'm looking at this webpage. It says he was actually at that point running for mayor of Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So he was starting a political career that which he ended up in Congress, later on.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow, Letterman got them to both appear on the show and sing I Got You, Babe.
Don't know if all that's true, 'cause you got me and baby, I got you. Babe, I got you, babe, I got you, babe. They used to say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned.
And how cool is that?
That's incredible.
So that's pretty cool. And then probably, this won't come to any surprise to anyone, but a great, great musical moment that I remember. We talked about Billy Joel playing on the first show on CBS. You talked about the Foo Fighters playing on the last show that he did on CBS. But do you remember who was the performer on the last show from NBC? When he was sort of closing that thing down?
Gosh.
And this makes perfect sense.
Does it? I don't know. My guess would have been somebody like Warren Zevon, but I don't know who it was.
It wasn't. It was the Boss.
Oh, it was Springsteen. I remember now. Yes.
He came out and played him off to Glory Days.
Yes, SMH. That's right.
Perfect, right?
That. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect ending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pack 'em gone down to where tonight I'm going. Drink till I get myself. Well, I hope when I get old, I'll sit around thinking about it.
That is perfect.
And that was 1993. So that was like earlier in the year that show ended, like somewhere in the spring or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
how cool is that?
Springsteen was still
amazing.
A pretty, pretty young guy.
Yeah.
You're a pretty spry fellow at that point.
Yeah,
so that would have been really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing that comes to my mind, too, is I don't know if you remember this episode or this this performance where the Beastie Boys came up. They started in the subway. They were down in the subway, and they came. They were singing Check Your Head, and they were walked up the subway, and then the camera sort of followed them as they walked down the streets of New York, and people were like cheering, and then they walked in the back door of the studio and continued to play the song.
That's insanely cool.
Oh, it was an amazing. It was an amazing moment. That's out there somewhere too.
All right. So, yeah, you can find a lot of this stuff online, right?
You can go down a wormhole. That I did, but lost a few hours.
All right, cool.
Very cool.
Well, that was fun. Those are fun memories. Mm-hmm. We can all thank Sam for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you, Sam. And I think we'll all spend a few hours on YouTube tomorrow.
All right. So if you like this scintillating conversation about music and walking down memory lane, you can listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
You can find the show on iTunes or Audio Boom or other podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. You can also visit the website, like we mentioned earlier, suburbspod.com.
Yeah.
And find cool stuff there. Maybe we'll embed some YouTube videos Letterman
with
this.
We can find some really good ones.
With these show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you can email us your memories of David Letterman or anything, rock@suburbspod.com, or
do that.
Find us on social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @SuburbsPod, or call our suburban party line and leave a message. That would be great. We'd love to hear some people talking about David Letterman. We'll play that on a Fan Mail Friday or something like that.
Yeah.
The number is
612-440-1984.
All right. And with all that, I guess we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Check, he's a TV addict. The mean of this don't mean to bring static. All your Klingons in your grandma's house. Grab your backstreet friend to get loud. Pulling doors off inches. I got you with the pinches. And no, I didn't retire. I stretch out with the needle nose pliers.
Like Beach Roller Omaha. With the M-boy you never seen before. Just gliding in the glades. And like Maureen, you know I get paid. Like a fresh say with the bass so. Not goofy, not daring, I hate so. I'm not
removed some stuff off the bottom of my feet. You don't want to hear a lot more about it.